Well, there you are. The last time I preached here, you weren't here. I was up here on a Friday night. Wade was out there going, you know, subject-verb agreement, things like that. And then there's a crew was here. It was all great. But you weren't here. You were going to be on tape delay later on. I was going to show up in your living room. You were going to stare over your croissant at me and maybe pause it or do something that it will take a lot more courage to do today. Get up and walk out. But I'm glad you're here. It's great. We've come a long way. You know, I've had 2 shots to be vaccinated. I started preaching 14 days after that second shot and haven't stopped yet. But when I come here this morning, I am reminded that I always wanted, when I grew up, to sound like Mike Armour. A voice lower than the archangel. Just when he says, you know, anything, I kind of go, yeah. Yeah, that's good. So Mike, I was so glad to be reminded of my inadequacies this morning. It's great. Just great. So, Brother Wade, and by the way, it's 5:30 in the morning where he is. Let's call him. Brother Wade said, would you mind preaching in the series that I've started? You know, which I was afraid, things wrong with Highland Oaks. I was afraid it'd be something like that. But he said, it's David. I said, well, I can preach into David. And he said, well, I'll send you the text. It's David and Goliath. There was a little boy David down by the babbling brook. There was a little boy David. 5 little stones he took. And he put one in his slingshot and he wound it around and around and around. Anyway, so I remember this. How many of you know that song? Okay, I'm done. That's a great song. It's got rhyme, it's got action, it's got a death. Got everything little boys in Vacation Bible School need to stay attentive. It's great. So I thought, well, David and Goliath, yes. And in so many ways it fit some things that I've been thinking about. And so if a text fits what you've been thinking about, then maybe something good might come of that. So this morning I want to pray that God will be with us in a remarkable way. Even in all the ways that we have sung about God's presence and power today, I pray that God will be with us today. And as we open his word, we will also open our hearts, and that God will bless the preaching and the hearing today, and may you hear a better sermon than is preached and go forth into the world. So, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Turn over in your phone and join me if you want to. This is a great story. This is a story that if you go forward and read the beginning of the unfortunate incidents with David and Uriah and Bathsheba, it starts off in the spring when kings go out to war. Evidently, there was war season. And when you were a king and you had an army, you were expected to go out to war against someone. Unless you had a pandemic and you had to do war in a bubble or something. He would be called to go to war. So Saul is at war. He's not far from Jerusalem. He's down in the valley of Elah. Some of you have been. How many of you have been to the valley of Elah? Good, I could describe it any way I want to. It is like a very large vacant lot. 50, 100 acres. Along one side of it, There is a place that where water could run, probably runs when it rains. And in the bottom of this bed are stones. Still, they haven't been taken completely by all the people who visit. It's still there, but it's not impressive. It is sort of a cross between Wichita Falls and Monahans, where jackrabbits would go to die. But it is a good place to meet in two camps and to yell challenges and insults across a fairly vacant space. And so when you begin in this passage, you have the Philistines gathered, and there is a champion named Goliath. I assume he's a champion because he's the meanest, most powerful, most gigantic person in the Philistine camp. 9 feet tall, bronze helmet, a coat of armor that weighs 125 pounds, spear with a point on it that weighs about 12 pounds. And Goliath stands and he shouts at the people of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, we'll become your subjects. And if I overcome him and kill him, you'll become our subjects and serve us. Everything's at stake." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." And on hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. I'm not sure why they're dismayed and terrified, except that there's no one that they can imagine in their camp that can go out and fight Goliath. And what's at stake is that if they lose, they all lose everything. And then the next verse says, "Now David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse." And it talks about how he's the eighth of the boys, and three of his brothers have gone to sit at the battle line and be afraid. And his dad instructs him to take some bread and go see them. And when he goes to see them, he hears Goliath. "Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up, and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up in their lines, facing each other. Nothing was going to happen. David left his things with the keeper of the supplies, ran to the battle lines, greeted his brothers, something he thinks might happen. And as he was talking, here comes Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath. And he steps out from his lines and shouts his usual defiance. David heard it, and he saw that everyone was afraid." Imagine going out to battle. And every morning, the king says, let's get ready. Let's get ready to go down to the line. Let's all go. And you get ready and you go, and the same thing happens every day. Here comes Goliath. And I guess people were hoping that one day he wouldn't show up. That someday some wimpy little guy would show up, like me. And I'd be out there going, "Oh, God, send out your champion and fight me." And you know, Goliath's got a day off. Goliath never takes a day off. He always shows up. He always challenges. And David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Now, Now we have a difference. Now we have a distinction. Goliath comes out and he says to the ranks of Israel, "You people from Israel, send out your fighter." And in doing that, I'm going to lean on this a little bit. And if you don't want to do that, that's fine. But it's going to get lonely in here if you don't. When Goliath does that, he may be talking about even the way the armies of Israel think about themselves. They're the people who come from a guy that God renamed Israel. They're the people who come from Jacob. They're the people who went to Egypt. They're the people who came out through the Red Sea. They're the people that God gave this land. They are the people who have a history from the judges of being faithful for a while and then being unfaithful and then being liberated by some judge. They're the people from that history. And do you people from that history want to fight me? David goes out there and says nothing about Jacob. Nothing about Israel. He says, "Who is he to defy the people of the living God?" Well, that's a different take on things, isn't it? Having God deep in your past is a good thing, I guess. But having a stance under the power of the living God is a completely different thing. So in verse 32, David says, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go up and fight." Saul says, "You can't do that." David continues, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear." This has happened. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul evidently is convinced. He says, "Go and the Lord be with you." So David goes out against the Philistine. He says, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me. I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And the whole world will know there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. The battle is the Lord's." Bum, 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 bum. "And he will give all of you into our hands." And the Philistine draws closer, and David hits him in the head with a rock. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. That's a great story. That's a great story. And that's a story that we need to step into just a bit. I've been preaching a long time. Not this morning yet. Getting there. But a long time. This coming September, it'll be 50 years. Not long for you. That's just, no, I understand. I know, I understand. In the presence of, there's always somebody, you know, you've been married 50 years. We've been married 65 years. You can't get a break, but it'll be 50 anyway. It's a down payment on a career. And all of this time, I've been raised, stewed up in the Bible. I've gone, when I was a little kid, we studied everything. The journeys through the Bible. We memorized the books of the Bible. We memorized Judges. We knew things about people that the kids around us in school had no idea about. You go to school and go, how about that Ahab? What a guy. Nobody in the third grade knew what Ahab was. Some Baptists, but they didn't. They knew it imperfectly. And I knew a lot about the history of God. But in the time and the place that I was growing up, no one said very much about God in the present. Because we didn't want to sound like those people that talk about God in the present. Now, we would pray God in the present prayers, sort of. People would pray for the sick, but very often the prayer was, Father, we pray for the doctors who are helping Sister Thigpen. And it never occurred to me that God, being God, if he were God, if he could help a doctor, he could probably help Sister Thigpen. But somehow we had to put a little insulator in there. Like, you know, I prayed that God would help me not get the virus. Well, that was good. Now I prayed God would help me not react badly to the vaccine. Good. And now I'm praying that God will help me not react badly to people who don't get the vaccine. But people are praying in our churches, thanking God for who he was in the past, with little, if any, articulation of God in the present. And people are not looking for a church that is a museum of the acts of God in the past. Unless that is just the introduction into the presence of the God who lives in the present. We are a people who are in search of the true and living God. We don't just have a past. We don't just have a heritage. We have a God who is present and with us. It says here, jump up and down a little. Because the vacancy, if we succumb to just being the keepers of the ancient story, the vacancy in us, to those around us, is immense. There is something missing. Like going to a temple in Israel and knowing that maybe God's presence doesn't feel that anymore. It's just an empty shell. And we don't want to be the church of the empty shell. And so I want us to think for a moment about our God story. Oh, this, people get nervous about this. Because I get nervous about this. I'm nervous about this now. I've never talked about this like this before. This isn't an old sermon. This is a new sermon. So when David was in front of Saul, he had a story about the presence of the living God. I was out there with the sheep, and here comes a lion. and the lion comes to me, and I take the lion and I kill him with my bare hands. What if he killed a bear with lion hands? Never mind. I killed wild animals with my bare hands, and I attribute this not to my strength, but to the fact that I serve and live under the living God. The living God did living things in my living life, in my present. I have a story, but I have a story that's not a story from the past. I have a story that is a story from my present and God being present with me. What's your story? Do you allow yourself to look at your life and see places where God has stepped into your life and done something that you look at that and you go, I serve the living God? And these are things that I have in my own life at times declared out of bounds to talk about to people in public. We're in Las Vegas, Nevada. We're going to have a baby. We're poor because we're working for the church. And we are going to have a baby, and we don't have money to talk to an obstetrician. So Annette goes to the obstetrician. Boy, don't say that twice. And the obstetrician goes, well, are you a minister's wife? Well, I'm one of those old school guys. I don't charge ministers' wives. Really? Coincidence. We have this baby boy. He's very nice. He's very big. He has jaundiced. He has to stay 2 more days to amuse the nurses in the nursery. That's an extra charge. We don't know what we're going to do. They may have to keep this baby. We go home. On the day that we go home and go to the mailbox, and the little church in Trent, Texas, where we came from, had taken up a little collection, and they sent it to us, and it was within a dollar of what we owed. Now, I want to tell you, I don't believe this. This is not my kind of story to tell. I'm a Church of Christ preacher from 1971. I am a person that we pray to God and we depend on ourselves. I don't live in the present of God. I know stories from the past of God. And if somebody starts talking about what God's doing right now, I get suspicious that they might be a Pentecostal. And I believe we are 2,000 years away from the tongues of fire. I repent. Jesus said that the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit was to attribute the works that he was doing to something other than the Holy Spirit. He's casting out demons by Beelzebub. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. It's not far away from that to walk through the garden of the presence of God and refuse to acknowledge that it's God working in this present moment to lift us up. Oh, I know how we want to protect God's reputation. I know. We want to not promise too much. God might do something minor in your life, but we don't want to say he's going to do much, because what if he doesn't do it the way I'm telling you to? And then you'll be so disappointed in God. And all of us have been disappointed in what God has done or not done. We all know what that's like, to have somebody dear die. To have a job that But God says this. He says, I am at work in all things for the good of those who follow me. So don't give up on me at the first no. Don't give up on me at the first disappointment. And even if you die, don't give up. Open your eyes, and I am there. So I want to be free. I want to declare myself free, and I want to set you free. I want to set you free for your story. I want to set you free for your story. Miss Annette over here, 2004, has a very bad breast cancer biopsy, and not very good. There she sits. I know some people who got similar results. They don't sit there, they sit there. But there she sits. I know what it's like to have your little boy come down 4 days after he's born and he's got spinal meningitis, and they tell you he's got a 50% chance of living. I know what that's like. He's the father of Phoebe and Jonah. I want us to be a church. Be a church. To be the Preston Road Church of Christ. That is the church who plans and believes and lives every day in the power of the present living God. That you don't just think about your past and your history where you're proud to say, and God was with us then. But you believe it now. You believe it now. Church is going to be in some transition. The church is going to be making some changes. Things have been different through the pandemic. Where are we now? God is with this church. The living God of hosts is with this church now. Live in God's present. Tell the stories of God's work in your life and in the life of this church, and refuse to do what the devil tries to get us to do, which is this. The devil's greatest delight is to let us believe whatever we want to about who God has been in the past, as long as we will believe that God is not with us now. He'll let us tell all the great stories from the Old and New Testament, as long as we don't believe it now. So today, we dare to believe in the living God, whose Son is raised and at the right hand of God today, whose Holy Spirit is moving in us even now, today. Let us be the church of Christ today.